7P. Pull back a little bit on you today, of course you know that the whole way. Never had one of the ones we'll do, I don't have time, but I think this morning we'll put just a few things in perspective, kind of how Revelation has a lot of stuff in it, parenthetical. We might be reading something here in the 17th chapter that has been a part of the whole tribulation here. So, we'll look at the thing or two this morning and try, I want you to try to visualize something with me as we do. But again, I thank you for your presence. Thank you for those who are listening in, way of media, however it might be. But thank the Lord for the opportunity again to get up and study the precious word and learn more about it. By the way, just a short word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Lord, thank you again for today. Another day, Lord, that you have given us. And Lord, help us to live this day so somebody can see Christ in us. Beyond this human veil of flesh, and this natural man who does not show forth Christ, we ask that the Holy Spirit would be embedded so strong in us that this old man can hide the new man, the Christ, the love of the Christ. Saved by the marvel of grace, the Christ that is our precious Lord and Savior, is our help in time of need, is our everything, that He's promised that He will fulfill. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings of life if you've watched over us and cared for us. Today we thank you for an opportunity to gather here, and we ask that the Holy Spirit might be ever present with us. And bless not only this time together, but the rest of the day's service also. Thank you, Lord, again for your saving grace, for your precious word. Walk us through it now in the precious name of Christ with thankful hearts. We do pray. Amen. Now, as we look at the book of Revelations, we find, like I said, many of those things that's parenthetical. But I want you this morning, if you allow me, let's kind of want you to visualize something with me. Now, we've talked about this beast and this woman in the 17th chapter of Revelations. And as we did last Sunday, in chapter number 18, we talked about the fall of Babylon. And you know, the mystery, Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots. Now, before something falls, it's already had to exist, right? So, when we look at what we're doing, we're looking at the judgment on Babylon, on Satan's false church. We're looking at the judgment, but we see it's already been existing for a good while through the tribulation period. In fact, the business, if you want to know the truth about it, it's in process right now. And it would probably scare us to death if we could really see how advanced it is. And as I was studying this and thinking about it, and I got thinking about look at our churches today. How much have the churches in the United States of America changed in the last 15 years, much less the last 25 years? How much of the world are they accepting today that they would not have thought about accepting a few years ago? And the thing of it is, when we look at our government, our political system is coming to the point now that we're having to think about it, whether we want to think about it or not. But there might be one day that the government comes in here and tells Brother Billy, if he's still here, what he's going to preach. And you better not say anything about this and this and this. And we're seeing a lot of that. So Satan's church is already setting things in order. Now, when we talked about this beast, and let me read this to you again. What did that beast have? You remember the beast that had the woman sitting on it, clothed in the scarlet? Now she's sitting on the beast, right? Now I want you to think about it. Put this picture in your mind, if you will, for just a moment. You just think about it. Let's think about a lion. He's king of the beasts, okay? So let's think about a lion. Then let's think about a woman sitting on this lion's back. And then the lion is now facing you, okay? You're going to see the lion's face. But when we look at this beast, they are what? Seven heads. So you're looking at seven faces. And you're looking at 10 horns. Don't you keep that in mind. Because all these things that we're talking about represent something. But who generally controls the horse? The horse control itself, or the person sitting on the horse control the horse? So you see, the rider is the one that generally controls the horse. Now, the woman, the Mr. Babylon, the harlot, is sitting on the lion. And when the tribulation period begins, and God raptures the church, the tribulation period begins, you're going to find that she's going to be on the scene immediately. Now, she will not be seen as she's seen as we see her here in the beginning. Remember, Satan's going to do this thing very subtle to start with. Antichrist is going to come in, and like we've said before, he's going to come in preaching peace. And all of a sudden, with the abilities that he has and what he can do, he's going to really be accepted as Christ. A lot of people are going to look at him as Christ himself. So he's going to be in a position that he's going to control everything quickly. We're going to see the start of that. You heard the universal church? You're going to see the start of that universal church. And the one that's going to be involved in that is going to be this woman that's sitting on this whore, this beast. Now, though the woman that's sitting on the beast, we say the rider can control the beast. The only reason she's going to control him because Satan's going to allow it. Okay? Because remember, let me read this to you again, and I want you to pay attention now. We're talking about that beast. And in chapter number 17 and in verse number 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, those seven heads, remember, what are they attached to? They're attached to the beast. They're part of the beast. So these seven kingdoms that we're looking at are a part of the beast, a part of Satan. Now, they're the head part. Remember, they're attached to the head. So they're going to be ruled by Satan. by the mind of Satan. Now it says there's 10 horns also. Now in verse number 10 it says, and there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and that is not, and he is the 8th and is of the 7. He's a part of the 7. And it says, and he goeth in perdition. Now look at the next one, the 10 horns. Remember, it had 7 heads and it's got 10 horns. Now the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with who? With the beast. So now who's going to be controlling that? See, that's the power that comes with the beast. So you better know that those 7 heads that represent the kingdom and those 10 horns that represent kings, they're going to be controlled not by the woman sitting on the beast, but by the beast himself. It's his head, and he's controlling them. So all we're going to see, we're seeing Satan at work. Now, I want to go all the way back. You know me, I'm crazy, but I want to go all the way back for just a minute and remind you of something. Does God do what he says he'll do? And does God hate sin? And does God judge sin? Let's look at an example for just a moment and go back with me to Genesis for just a moment. Now, what we're seeing in the world of Antichrist in Revelation is a wicked and a perverse world. And this woman and this harlot church seem to be the center of attraction. And everything seems to be surrounded around that. And not only is she the harlot church, the religious perspective of the tribulation period, but she's also the center of commerce. She's the Wall Street, the Babylon is of the tribulation period. And how does God deal with such? In 6th chapter of Genesis, got to go way back here. I'll read just a thing or two to you. In Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5, and God saw. You think God don't know what's going on? He said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now, where do you think we are in the tribulation period? What do you think God's seeing in the tribulation period? He sees what's going on. And we've never seen anything compared to what it's going to be like then. If we think that everywhere we look, somebody is half nude and wants to be completely nude, we won't see it. You don't know anything till we get to the tribulation period. There's not going to be anything held back during this harlot church time. And he said he saw it was wicked, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, now that's man's heart, remember that, were only what? Evil, and how long? Continually. That's all they were focusing on, continually. same place we are in Revelation. We will look at the Great Babylon. Now, how do we know that it's that way? I'll read a verse to you in a moment. You know, it's not just people. But at this particular time, the devil has turned his demons loose and people are demon-filled. You remember, in fact, Bittis, I was listening to Linwood this morning when I was coming, riding from house over here to Sunday school, and he was talking about demon-possessed men in scriptures and how they reacted and what they did. And you know, they had a lot of strength. You know, remember they shackled him up in chains and he'd do what? Break him and set himself free. Now you think the man did that, you think the demons did that. See, demon power. And the world's going to be full of demons. You remember when we talk about the bottomless pit that was opened up and they came out and it was so many of them that came out that it was like a cloud of smoke. What do you think they were? That's demons that's coming from the pit of hell. And they have now come to this earth during the tribulation period. And God's looking at all that wickedness just like he's looking at wickedness here. Now, what did God say that I'm going to do? In verse number 7 in Genesis, in this 6th chapter of Genesis, and the Lord said, I will. Now, you can underline that and put your circle around the word, I will. I will do what? He said, I will destroy man whom I have created. Put a circle around that because God created man. He ain't no monkey come out of a jungle somewhere. God created. He created him. Have created him. And he said, I'm going to do what? I have created man. From the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, don't you ever think in your mind that God's looked at it, when you read this verse, don't you ever think that God's looked and said, well, I made a mistake. You might better read this verse again. Because when we look at it in detail, God says, it repented me that I created man on this earth. He put him, remember, when God created man, where did he put him? He put him on this earth. Who's in charge? Who's the ruler of this earthly universe? Satan is right now. God's supreme rule, but Satan's the underlying rule. So he put him in his own backyard, in Satan's backyard. And he, because of sin, he now has a nature to follow after things of Satan rather than things of God. And God said, I put him in that bad position. In verse number 12, he says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth. Now, I want you to look at something in this particular verse. And we can't blame God for anything. Look at the wording. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was what? It was corrupt. For all flesh, and what's the next word? Had. So what had corrupted itself? Man had corrupted himself. The flesh of man hath corrupted his ways upon the earth. Now flip over with me, if you will, to chapter number 7. Look with me at verse number 16. Now, when we look at this, we see that the flood's taking place. In verse number 16, and they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. So we know that you know, when family goes in, he brings in the ark, those that God had commanded to, all the animals, two by two, and he brought the clean by sevens. And what did he do? What does it say he did? After those things that had been commanded, and the Lord did what? Shut him in. No, didn't shut the door. The Lord shut the door. And when he shuts the door, it's done. When God shut the door to the ark, the last one that was going to walk in the ark walked in the ark. And I don't believe it's going to be long before the last one who's going to ever acknowledge Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior is going to walk into the true church of God and take the final seat in the bride of Christ, the church of God. And when he does, you know what's going to happen? Judgment's starting right then. When God closed this door, what happened? Judgment started, didn't it? Now, I want you to look at verse number 21 and 23. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. So what did God say? He says, I've done it this way this time, but I'll not do it this way the next time. But he has not said that I will not do it at all. But see, in verse number 7, God says, I will. And then we read on through and we find that God did exactly what he said that he'd do. Now, he's the same God. We look at Genesis, the 19th chapter, and we look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me ask you a question. How many of us are perfect? There's none righteous, no, not one. And I know that in God's Word, we look in Hebrews and he talks about Lot. He calls him what? Righteous Lot, right? But where was Lot when Sodom and Gomorrah was in existence? Look, we never looked at this or not. I won't go do this, but I am. You say you're way off of Revelations. Yeah, I agree. But we're talking about an almighty God that does what he says he will do. And God's going to do what he says concerning his church. And his church is all of us who've been saved by his marvelous grace, washed in his blood, and made righteous through Christ. Okay? Now, there's not many of us in here. You might be different than me. But when I look in the mirror, I don't see a whole lot of righteousness. And Lot was in a position in Sodom and Gomorrah that he won't show forth his best side. I want you to look at something here. I want you to see just how gracious and just how merciful God is and God can be. In spite of us. When he saved me, that's permanent. Because I was sealed with the permanent blood of Christ. And my sins were washed away. And I know we're away from Revelation here for just a moment, but this laid on my heart last night, and I don't know anything else to do but to talk about it this morning. Now, look in the 19th chapter for just a moment. And in verse 24, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and far from God out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Did God do to Sodom and Gomorrah what he said he would do to Sodom and Gomorrah? Yep, he sure did. But in looking at this last night, I want you to look at the 19th chapter with me while you're there. And I want you to look at this and think on it for just a moment. Verse number 1, it says, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, to your servant's house. And we know the story where they went in and stayed, and they had to be protected from those of the city, because they desired those two that had come in. And we know that God put the curse on the city of Sodom. But, and I didn't write the scripture down, and I should have, because I said, well, I won't have time to do that. If you go back and you read this account, God had told Lot to take his two daughters and his wife and depart. And he says, you depart quickly. And the worldly side of him, the man side of him, was still there. And he was still being slow about leaving. The two angels come to him and said, hurry this thing up. Actually took him by the hand and his family by the hand and led them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why was it so necessary for them to leave Sodom and Gomorrah? Because judgment's coming, and I can't bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah until you've departed. What do you think is holding judgment off of the world today? His church people. Those of us who know Christ in saving grace are still here alive. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for the rapture. And one of these days before long, and it could be before we finish today, He's going to call us home. And what's going to happen as soon as we've left? Tribulation period begins. The church is not a perfect church, but it's made perfect through Christ. Lot was not a perfect man, but it was made perfect through God. And he had to be part Sodom and Gomorrah because he was God's man. We've got to depart before tribulation because we are God's children. Not made perfect in ourselves, but made perfect in Him. And we are the church. And we will be. And I think we can see here and see those people talking about when we're going to be. We're going to be raptured before tribulation period ever starts. And I think we can see a good example of that as we look at this example this morning. Now let's finally go back to Revelation again. One of those rabbits I run, you know, all the time. I know they all get tired of me running the rabbits, but I have to run him once in a while to keep my dog trained. So. But now let's go back and look at this woman for just a moment, chapter number 18. See, we're getting close to the end of the tribulation period. The new city of Babylon, the great Babylon now, has been established. She's done her thing, so to speak. And we saw last Sunday that he cried with chapter 18, verse number 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, "Babylon is fallen. Is fallen, has become the habitation." Now I want you to notice, I didn't stress this a lot last Sunday, but I want you to notice this. What is she made up of? See, you got to have something before you can fall. So she's already in existence. And this is what she's made up of. This is the kind of city, the great Babylon, the political and the whore church of the tribulation period is. She says, "And it has become the habitation of devils and the hole of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." In other words, everything about her is rotten. And the demons of the devil have been turned loose in her. She says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not her plagues. For her sin hath reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewardeth you, and double unto her, double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart," notice how many times it says heart, "I said a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. And therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who judgeth her. And we read that last Sunday. Now we've just seen where God said in the Old Testament scriptures that I will do this judgment, and he did. And we think that when we look at these things that God's not controlled. But I need to call your attention again now to chapter number 17, verse number 17. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. To fulfill his will. All the time he's using Antichrist. He's using the harlot, the whore, and all those associated with the beast to do what? To fulfill his will to bring judgment. He says, and God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to go and to give their kingdom unto the beast, and to the word of the Lord shall be fulfilled. Now in chapter number 18, and this is where I would have started today, and I've waited the whole Sunday morning, Sunday school hour, I guess. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Now, I want you to notice who has been benefiting by her. Notice, and the kings of the earth who rule, kings rule, the kings of the earth have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her and shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. How did God this story, Sodom and Gomorrah? He burned it up, didn't it? How's he going to destroy the harlot church? She's going to be burned up. Going to be burned up. What's hell made up of? Lake of fire, right? Fire is always associated with God's judgment. And here we see God's judgment in full force. Stand afar off for the fear of her torment. These kings are standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city. For in 1 hour is thy judgment come. It don't take God long to do his work, does it? Now notice what she says. Notice what she said in verse number 7. She saith in her heart. What did she say? I said a queen, am no willer, and shall see no sorrow. I don't believe that lines up with what I see in verse number 10 and 11. In verse number 11, it says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. And the time's gone, we'll have to quit, but you see, and it's hard for us to grasp all this, because you look at this and you think, well, the tribulation period would have been a good period. I mean, these merchants, they said they lived deliciously and they gained all these things. It must be going pretty good with them. Well, there might have been some good times in the tribulation period, but I see a whole lot of terrible times in the tribulation period. when it comes to the point that man crawled in the caves in the mountains and called for them to fall on them, want to die and can't die, that don't sound like a good place to be living to me. So don't get it in your mind when you read this that tribulation period is going to be a hunky-dory period of time to live in. Because tribulation period is God's judgment, and God's judgment is not good to a sinful world. Time's gone. God bless you. Thank you for putting up with me this morning while I run rabbit. So I'll try to do more than two verses in Revelation next Sunday. God bless you. Thank you.